Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to the CBS Evening News ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
If we can stop traffic, just make sure no one's on the bridge right now. If there's a crew up there.
Tonight, police had just 90 seconds to stop traffic on Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge. The new details as the investigation intensifies.
Based on sonar scans, we firmly believe that the vehicles are encased in superstructure and concrete that we tragically saw it come down.
Plus, what we're learning about the victims, fathers, husbands, who came to America for a better life.
They were people who were very honest, hardworking people.
The CBS Evening News starts now. Good evening. I'm Nora O'Donnell, and thank you for being with us. We do want to begin with some breaking news because Maryland officials have just announced that they've recovered the first bodies from the water after that deadly bridge collapse. And authorities also revealing they are now shifting to a new phase. Investigators today were on board that cargo ship, interviewing the crew and collecting evidence. The Navy says they're going to bring in barges into the port that will be outfitted with these heavy lift cranes to help clear the channel. Now, the cranes, which have a lift capacity of up to 1,000 tons, will be used along with other support vessels to remove the submerged portions of the bridge. The Biden administration saying today it's going to work aggressively to reopen the port of Baltimore, which handles $200 million worth of cargo on a single day. We're also getting new details about the victims who were working in the middle of the night on the bridge. One was just 26 years old. Another victim's brother tells CBS News his brother was a hard worker, saying, quote, if he could work every hour, every day, he would. These are just some heartbreaking stories tonight. Let's bring in CBS's Chris Van Cleve. He will start us off from Baltimore, where new details are coming in. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, Nora. Maryland State Police just told us it was this morning when divers spotted a red pickup truck about 25 feet under the surface of the water. Inside were the first two bodies. They've been able to locate two of the missing. Those families have now been notified of their loved ones passing, and the investigation now is ramping up. This scene of destruction and loss remains frozen. But tonight, praise for the crew's critical Mayday call.
There's a ship approaching. It just lost their steering. We got to stop all traffic.
Giving police a couple minutes warning, the powerless ship was on a collision course with the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
If not for several factors, including those responders' efforts, the Mayday call, the maintenance closure that was already underway, and the time of day of this impact, the loss of life might have been in the dozens.
Tragically, the search and rescue efforts of yesterday turned into a grim mission of recovering the bodies of the six people who are presumed dead. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy.
Our investigation can wait. The most important thing right now is to reunite families with their loved ones.
But that investigation is moving forward. The National Transportation Safety Board is analyzing the contents of the ship's voice data recorder. Despite challenging weather conditions, a team of investigators were on board the cargo ship Dolly gathering evidence. Among the things they'll seek to determine, was the ship's engine choked out by dirty fuel before it hit the bridge?
Was there a world where this doesn't come down when it's hit this way?
You know, and that's something we're going to have to look at, and we'll want to look at the design of the bridge as part of that.
New images from the FBI show the sonar searchers are relying on to help navigate the debris field. Dive team leader Brian Hudson on CBS Mornings.
It's a very dangerous situation underwater with the rubble still settling. It's not a great spot for divers. It's incredibly black water.
I want to start.
Secretary Buttigieg says repairs will take time, leaving one of the country's busiest ports shut down and its 8,000 workers in limbo. At least two cargo containers went overboard. 56 others on the ship hold hazardous material, though not considered a threat to the public. The ship's bow is said to be resting on the river floor. The Coast Guard will have to refloat the more than 900-foot-long vessel to clear the waterway.
I think the main challenge here is removing those large trusses and steel members off the bow of the ship.
Maryland State Police also telling us tonight they're not able to reach the other bodies. They're going to need those Navy heavy lift cranes to clear some of that debris before they can recover the rest of the missing. The Navy, their plan is to get that waterway open as fast as possible so the port can resume operations, Nora.
I heard them calling this now a salvage operation. Chris Van Cleef, thank you so much. We are also learning new details about the victims of this tragedy. Six construction workers who were all pursuing the American dream. CBS's Nicole Skanga spoke with a local pastor who knows the families.
A Baltimore City landmark, now a personal tragedy.
These were fathers, and these were sons, and these were husbands, and these are people who their families relied on.
We've determined the countries of origin of those that are presumed deceased to be Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras.
Miguel Luna, a father of three, was originally from El Salvador. The 40-year-old left for work at 6:30 p.m. to fill potholes on the Key Bridge.
He's supposed to come in the morning back home and never come.
Maynard Yasir Suazo Sandoval would have celebrated his 35th birthday next month. He believed in giving back and donated to a children's soccer league in Honduras. His brother prays his body is found so they can bring him back to be buried.
We know that they were hard workers. We know that they love soccer. We know that they love, you know, their families and the community.
Jesus said, call no one good, but these were good men.
Father Walker has been mourning alongside families.
My advocacy is that we don't abandon these families, that we come together as a Baltimore community.
A community these men loved.
This bridge was a symbol of America.
We feel so proud that they trust us to rebuild, to repair this beautiful bridge that have a huge history in our nation. And that is an example of our contribution.
Tuesday's bridge collapse marks the second time in 1 year construction workers were killed on the job along the same highway in the city of Baltimore. Last March, six highway workers were struck fatally by a speeding car. Nora.
Nicole Skanga, thank you. Let's turn now to some more breaking news. We just learned that former senator and vice presidential nominee Joe Lieberman has died following complications from a fall. He was 82 years old. CBS's Major Garrett, our chief Washington correspondent, is here with us. We covered him many years up there on the Hill. 24 years as a senator, made history as the first Jewish vice presidential nominee. How do you think he'll be remembered?
As a serious, sober, and deeply morally grounded United States senator. You don't always put those three things together, Nora. And also, Joe Lieberman's life in the Senate and American politics is also kind of a microcosm of regional and ideological changes within the Democratic Party. So he arrives in Washington in 1989 as a quiet centrist Democrat, replacing a brash liberal Republican, Lowell Weicker. He's an early advocate of Bill Clinton, and he's a strong supporter of the Clinton administration's policies. But he breaks with Bill Clinton memorably over Monica Lewinsky and the extramarital affair there. He doesn't vote to impeach.
But he rebukes him.
Rebukes him, and that stings. He also gets the attention of Al Gore, becomes his running mate in 2000. But as he continues his political career, he becomes more and more estranged from the Democratic Party. An advocate, a fierce advocate of the Iraq War, 2003. He runs for president in 2004. Progressive Democrats give him no traction whatsoever. In 2006, he's defeated for re-election by a Democrat, runs as independent, and wins. But in December 2007, he endorses John McCain, completing his estrangement from the Democratic Party. So in that sense, this centrist Democrat finds himself more and more alienated from the Democratic Party, Nora, until he comes back in the fold in 2016 and 2020, endorsing Hillary Clinton and then Joe Biden.
He'll be known as an independent in many ways. Yes. Major Garrett, thank you.
Sure.
Now to a CBS News exclusive, we're hearing for the first time from the family of a former Boeing manager who became a whistleblower. John Barnett died by an apparent suicide earlier this month before completing his deposition in a lawsuit against the airline manufacturer. He had accused Boeing of repeatedly ignoring safety issues. CBS's Mark Strassman spoke with his mother and brother.
I think he thought of himself as trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm.
Vicki Stokes' son, John Barnett, worked at Boeing for 32 years, the last seven as a quality manager at the South Carolina factory that builds the 787 Dreamliner.
How did he tell you he was being treated?
He was, like, embarrassed at meetings. He would be called out.
Not the type with back down?
No, sir.
In a whistleblower lawsuit, Barnett alleged a litany of safety concerns. Stray titanium shavings falling into electrical wiring, defective oxygen tanks, and managers urging him to cut corners. In this 2022 Netflix documentary, Barnett claimed his managers retaliated against him for speaking up.
Boeing quit listening to their employees. So every time I'd raise my hand and say, hey, we got a problem here, they would attack the messenger and ignore the message.
In this hotel parking lot, Barnett was found dead from a gunshot wound in his car on March 9th. While police are still investigating, the coroner says it appears to be a suicide.
Do you blame Boeing?
I think if this hadn't have gone on so long, I'd still have my son. My sons would still have their brother, and we wouldn't be sitting here. So in that respect, I do.
Barnett's death occurred as depositions continue and as Boeing grapples with weeks of headlines about its safety culture, specifically repeated problems with its 737 MAX planes, including a mid-flight blowout of an Alaska Airlines door. Barnett worked on a different plane but raised similar concerns.
He wasn't trying to hurt Boeing. He was trying to save Boeing. He saw this coming, and he said at some point, you know, this is all going to come down on Boeing.
In the middle of Boeing's reputational crisis, Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun announced he's stepping down. In a statement today, Boeing said, "We're saddened by Mr. Barnett's passing, and our thoughts are with his family and friends." I asked Rodney Barnett about his brother's legacy.
That's all he wanted. That's all he wanted, just the safety of the public.
He thought that was at stake.
That he knew that was at stake, and that's what he was concentrating on.
Barnett's family hopes to carry on his whistleblower lawsuit against Boeing after 7 years of litigation. It's scheduled for trial this September. Nora?
Mark Strassman, thank you very much. Tonight, there's big news from the Big Apple. Driving into the city could get more expensive. The Metropolitan Transit Authority in New York has given the green light to congestion pricing. That's something a lot of other cities will be looking at. The plan, the first in the U.S., calls for a $15 toll on cars entering Midtown Manhattan. The money would go towards mass transit projects, but it's not a done deal. Multiple lawsuits have been filed to block it, including by small business owners worried about the impact on their customers. Texas's tough new immigration law remains on hold after a federal appeals court extended a block on a rule that would allow the state to arrest and deport migrants suspected of illegally crossing the border. Texas has already mounted an aggressive border operation, which the governor says has resulted in migrant crossings moving away from the Lone Star State and then towards Arizona, a much more dangerous route. CBS's Camilo Montoya Galvez got a firsthand look from above.
Out here, there is nothing.
This desolate stretch of the Arizona border is one of the deadliest for migrants. Each day, federal agents take to the skies. their search for people in distress often turns into a rescue mission.
You've had to rescue migrants.
Oh, absolutely.
And children, too.
Oh, children, women, older folks.
In its latest annual count, Border Patrol reported a record 895 migrant deaths, 142 of them here in the Tucson sector.
This is one of the most remote sections of the U.S.-Mexico border. It is also now the busiest Border Patrol sector for illegal crossings. Migrants from across the globe are using gaps in the border wall, just like this one, to enter the U.S.
As Texas has become more hostile to migrants, the number of people crossing in Arizona has soared. Most are looking to claim asylum.
How long was the journey from Nepal?
It took too long.
Why did you come?
Political problem.
Political problems? In Nepal?
Yes.
In Texas, migrant crossings have plunged by over 50% since late last year. Now, more than 60% of all border crossings are occurring in Arizona and California.
Governor Abbott has credited his policies for that geographic shift, if you will. Is that accurate?
Hard to say. Could it have had some impact? Sure. Is it the one panacea that's caused that's corrected the problem? I don't think that's a fair statement.
Officials worry the warmer weather will bring more migration and deaths.
Nobody wants to see someone die. That is the absolute worst part of this job.
But unfortunately, one they're seeing more often. Camilo Montoya Galvez, CBS News, near Sasebo, Arizona.
Tonight, some rough weather is heading toward the East Coast. Heavy rain is forecasted from the deep south all the way to Maine on Thursday. There's also the potential for flash flooding. Baseball's opening day games have been postponed in New York and Philadelphia. Tonight, we're getting our first look inside the L.A. home of Sean Diddy Combs. After the federal raid, we're learning guns were seized and more. We've got the details next.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
New images reportedly show the aftermath of the federal raids at the homes of music mogul Sean Diddy Combs. Footage obtained by TMZ appears to show drawers emptied, documents scattered, and safes opened and searched at his L.A. home. Guns, cell phones, and other electronics were seized in the raids. Combs' attorney says he has cooperated with authorities and denies any wrongdoing. Somebody struck it rich on the Jersey Shore. It happened at this liquor store in Neptune. That's where the one winning ticket was sold in the $1.1 billion Mega Millions drawing. It's the eighth largest jackpot in U.S. history. Another big prize is up for grabs. Tonight's Powerball jackpot has grown to $865 million. A lot of Americans are sneezing and wheezing more than ever. We'll show you why when we come back. You've probably noticed that winter's getting warmer and spring's starting sooner. Sounds great, right? Well, not if you're affected by pollen. One recent study found that the average allergy season is now 20 days longer than it used to be. Sorry about that. CBS's Dave Malkoff reports climate change is forcing Americans to adapt.
Dallas is getting a bit wild this week, but it's not dog hair that's clogging up Dick Morrison's head. It's the severe pollen season.
It's just longer. So where it used to be 2 weeks, now it's about 3 months.
Roughly 60 million people in the U.S. suffer from allergies, including Michael Welsh. For him, just getting through the day requires a weekly, custom-mixed allergy shot.
What happens if you don't get that shot once a week?
My allergies go wild. Watery eyes, a running nose, I start sneezing.
Pollen really is everywhere. This is not just you. In fact, between 1990 and 2018, there was a 21% increase in pollen. That study done by Professor William Andrick.
Pollen seasons are starting earlier and getting worse with more pollen in the air.
Is this because of the heat? Is this because of the extra carbon in the air?
It seems to be a combination of everything. But that said, it really seems like the heat is one of the biggest drivers.
This past winter was the warmest on record across the continental U.S. Fewer days below freezing, allowing plants to bloom earlier and longer. New data released this month from the nonprofit Climate Central shows allergy season coast to coast is growing. For Portland, the 2023 season was 23 days longer when compared to 1970. In Philly, it's 31 days. In Dallas, it's 17 days longer. At Dr. Brett West's office, that's led to a 30% uptick in patients this year. And if you're thinking, I don't get allergies like everyone else.
It's just because you never had dog or cat or pollen allergies growing up, it can develop at any time.
Dr. West says if you suffer from allergies, make sure you're staying on top of your symptoms with medication. Try and limit your exposure out here on high pollen days. But, Nora, unfortunately, we're all going to have to start thinking about protecting ourselves much earlier and much longer than we used to.
The only downside of spring in my book. Yeah. Dave Malkoff, thank you so much. Heart of America is next with a group of strangers who banded together following a serious car crash.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a house. It's your home, the place that's filled with memories. The early days of figuring it out, to the later years of still figuring it out. For the place you've put down roots, trust Amica Home Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Finally, tonight's Heart of America, meet a group of Good Samaritans in Daytona Beach, Florida. This scary accident in the middle of a busy intersection on Tuesday afternoon turned into a feel-good story after total strangers came to the aid of the driver and police. At least nine people jumped out of their vehicles to help. The first passerby ran to make sure the driver was okay before helping the others flip the SUV onto its wheels. Well, thankfully, no one was seriously hurt. So the Good Samaritans of Daytona Beach, tonight's Heart of America. And that is tonight's CBS Evening News. I'm Nora O'Donnell. Good night.
If you like the CBS Evening News, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts starting May 8th. Access episodes early and ad-free with 48 Hours Plus on Apple Podcasts starting May 1st.